acceptable in his sight. Certainly it's good to see those who are present this evening, and we trust that when we have completed our service to our God and our worship service on this day, that everything that we have done would then have been in accordance with his holy and divine will. I don't see any visitors, but in case we have any, certainly it's always good to have visitors with us in our services. Number 272 has been selected and announced as our song of invitation and encouragement. I believe the title of that song is "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And I trust that is all of our decision this evening, that we have decided and that we are going to continue to follow him even unto death. So when we stand to sing that song, if we have any who may be falling short in following Jesus, we trust that you would want to make it right tonight through whatever means that needs to be, whether it is confession of sin of which you have repented, or if there are those who are not members of the body of Christ, by obeying the Lord in baptism and letting him add you to his church. This morning I talked from the same area of scripture in Hebrews chapter 2. And I talked about some things that we should never forget. Again, the writer admonished the Christians that they needed to pay close attention to the things which they had heard, lest at any time they should let them slip. Then he goes on and he says, "For if the words that were spoken by angels," having reference to the old law, "was given through the ministration of angels," the Bible says. It says, "If those words that were spoken by angels, if they were steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward." Then he asked the question, how can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Tonight I want to talk about why salvation is so great. Perhaps the writer had in mind that if he would talk about the salvation in terms of greatness, that this perhaps would help these Christians to be inclined not to neglect it. You know, if you don't think anything about anything, then you're not going to be so serious about that. But if they really could see salvation as being great, then perhaps they would be inclined not to neglect it. And I believe the same thing would go for us this evening, that we need to see salvation as being great. It is a great thing. And I know it's a great thing because the Bible just says it's a great thing. How shall we escape so great a salvation? It is indeed a great thing in our lives. I want to talk this evening about four reasons why I believe we ought to look at salvation as being great. Number one, salvation is great because it was provided by the greatest giver. It was provided by God himself. It was God himself who, the Bible says, gave his only begotten son. We know that verse so well, I'm sure. John 3 and verse 16. God gave his only begotten son for salvation. Romans 6 and verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God Where did the gift come from? It came from God. The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God then, being a great God, provided or gave us salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I says that it was provided by the greatest giver. There is no giver greater than God. You just cannot beat God giving. He is the greatest at giving because he is the greatest. There is no God, there is no king, there is no anybody or anything that is greater than God. The Bible says this as a comparison was made of his equal. In Psalms chapter 77, in verse 13, the psalmist said it like this. He says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary." And the question is asked, who is so great a God as our God? You and I know the answer. Nobody. Nobody is as great as our God. The psalmist will say again in Psalm 95 and verse number 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Again, he's the greatest. Nothing, nobody is greater than God. And it was this great God then that provided salvation for us. So no wonder the scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Because it came from a great God. I'm thankful tonight, and I'm sure you're thankful, that we serve a great God. And again, you just cannot beat God giving. Not only is salvation great because it was provided by the greatest giver, but it made possible, or it was made possible, I should say, by the greatest sacrifice. There is no sacrifice that is as great as the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. These Hebrew Christians would be familiar with the Old Testament sacrifices. We would be familiar through our study of the Bible of the Old Testament sacrifices. And though God required them, none of them would be as great as the sacrifice of his Son upon the cross, because he was indeed the supreme sacrifice. The Bible says this concerning Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 26. It says, but this man, speaking about Christ, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And verse 26 is what I want to zero in on. Notice what this says about Jesus Christ. For such an high priest became us who is holy. Not only is he holy, but he's harmless. Not only is he harmless, but he's undefiled. Not only is he undefiled, but he is separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. That's supreme. That is the supreme. That is the greatest sacrifice. Jesus Christ was holy. No spot about Jesus Christ. He was undefiled. Could not lay any blame upon him. They tried to find some charges on him, but they couldn't find any. Couldn't find any because there was none to be found. He was blameless. Again, he was undefiled. Peter says it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and about verse 22, I believe it is. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Again, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. So Christ then was the supreme sacrifice. in his character. He was supreme. He was supreme in the sacrifice that he made, even of himself. What way was he supreme? Was because the sacrifices of the Old Testament had to be continually offered day by day. But when it came to Christ being that supreme sacrifice, only had to be offered one time. Listen to the Bible again in Hebrews chapter 7 in verse number 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Priests under the Old Testament, again, every day they had to offer. And if I were to ask the Tuesday morning class the question, they could answer this question because we just not long ago studied this. Every day they had to offer a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening. You're talking about blood being shed in the Old Testament. Some blood was shed in the Old Testament. But Jesus didn't have to offer himself up. Only once did he have to offer himself. So that made him supreme. He was the supreme sacrifice. Again, in Hebrews 9 and 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So he only had to offer himself once, and that was sufficient. That made his sacrifice supreme. No wonder the salvation is defined as being great. Even the Bible describes him as being a lamb slain even from the foundation of the world. That had to be supreme. Because the lambs in the Old Testament, they had to be grown. They had to grow up, if you will. But Jesus was described as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Listen to the Bible. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. Talking about Jesus, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And of course they're talking about, if the names weren't written in the book of life, they're going to worship Satan. But he says, Jesus Christ was described as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And talking about all that blood could not take away sins, even though it was required by God to be offered continually on a daily basis. But it could never take away sins. But Jesus' blood could take away sins. Hebrews 10 and verse number 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, even though they had to offer them day by day, year by year. They had to offer this blood, but it could never take away sins. But Jesus' blood could take away sins. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, down about verse number 7, that we have redemption through his blood, because he's that perfect sacrifice. He's that supreme sacrifice. And that's what makes salvation, I believe, so great. Because his blood could do what no other blood could do. It could take sins away. Not only was it great, or is it great, because it was provided by a great, or the greatest giver, and because it made possible the greatest sacrifice, but it also, I believe, is great because it was provided for man's greatest need. You know, man have some great needs. We all need air. And they tell me that normally you can live without air for about 3 minutes. And I know there are those who go through certain breathing processes and that kind of thing, and they can do it a little bit longer, but generally speaking, they tell me that you can live without air for about 3 minutes. And that you can do without water for about 3 days. And you can live without food for about 3 weeks. And that you can live without shelter in harsh environment for about 3 hours. Those are great needs. But there is no need as great as being saved from our sins. That's man's greatest need. Because we have a soul that needs saving, because we all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse number 23. And when we sin and when we fall short, that put us a guilty distance. You hear sometimes the term being made a guilty distance from God. That separates us from God. And the soul of man is the most important possession that he will ever have. That's why the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, in verse 36, "For what shall a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Man's greatest need is the salvation of his soul. "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I talked about going through certain exercises and being able to breathe longer. I mean, to live longer without air. In my studies, in my research, I found out that there was one gentleman who went through certain exercises and he continually lived, but he was able to live without breathing for 22 minutes. Now that's a great accomplishment. But you know what? That would not help his soul. His soul still needed saving. That's why I say man's salvation is man's greatest need. And so we need our souls to be saved. We need hope of salvation. And it is only through Jesus Christ, through that sacrifice that he made, that he provides us with our greatest need. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12, that at that time, he says, "You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's a miserable position to be in. Having no hope and without God in the world. But the next verse says, "But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off, you're made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now we have hope. We have a hope for the salvation of our souls because of Christ. So Christ then provided man's greatest need. That's why salvation is so great. There is nothing greater than the salvation of our souls. But also one other reason why I want to suggest to us tonight that salvation is so great. Salvation is so great because its end results is the greatest reward. It ushers one into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter was inspired to write this after having said, "Add to your faith virtue," and so forth and so on. Down about verse number 10, he says this: "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom," a kingdom without end. We talked about that word this morning, everlasting. A kingdom without end, until the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we do the will of God, the Bible says we have a guarantee to be ministered abundantly into that eternal kingdom. And that's the greatest reward that one could ever have, is to spend eternity in heaven with God. Eternity will be enjoyed there. We talked about this verse this morning in Matthew 25 and verse 46, after Jesus had given that dissertation and talking about all of the nations are going to be gathered before him, the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. He says things like this: when I was hungry, you gave me no meat. When I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. When I was in prison, you didn't come and see me. And they say, Lord, when did we not do these things? He says, inasmuch as you did it not unto these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. And then he says this: and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's the greatest reward. Salvation provides for us eternity with God and being in heaven with God throughout the ceaseless ages. It frees us from the former cares of this life. Who don't want to get rid of pain? Who don't want to get rid of sorrow? Who don't want to get rid of difficulties? Who don't want to get rid of trials? Who don't want to get rid of problems and atrocities of life? We all want to get rid of that. But you know, if we are saved eternally in heaven, all of those things will be gone. That's the greatest reward. John said it like this as he was inspired to write on the Isles of Patmos. In Revelation chapter 21, he talked about the kingdom of God coming down. And he said in verse number 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold,